Every single day I feel it.
Artlist IO.
Every single day I feel the pressure. Double up the work, let's make it extra. Working so my mother get arrested. Yeah. Working like I never knew I'm blessed. Yeah. Every single day I feel the pressure.
Let's go. We're back at That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. It's your boy C-Rock in the building. Let's go. Fired up today, man. The guests that we have lined up today, I'm so aligned with, and it makes the episode so much easier. And shout out to Todd Armstrong for making connections for us. And that's my partner at That One Agency. And I'm just very fortunate to have a great team around me. So shout out to Todd. Shout out to you, the listener or the watcher, however you're consuming this content. I really appreciate you. And I want to make sure you understand the gratitude that I have for you. I can't do this show. It's just a phone call or a video call without you, the listener. So really appreciate it. Please keep sharing with your friends, family, coworkers, let them know about the What Are You Made Of show and the things you're hearing here. So today I have Mark Champagne. He's in his building, not my building. It's a little inside joke, Mark. I always say they're in the building. And Mark's in the building. And as the author of the best-selling book, Personal Socrates, Better Questions, Better Life, and host of the top 50 ranked podcast Behind the Human, Mark has spent over a decade studying the mental fitness practices of some of the world's most successful and brilliant thinkers. He specializes in training teams to integrate tailored mental fitness practices designed to help them clear out mental clutter, to overcome overwhelm, calmly navigate high-stress situations, and enhance their creative clarity and focus. Mark, welcome to the show. Hang tight with us. I think I might have lost Mark.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we're back. We're back.
We're back. Okay.
Yeah, Mark. So did you hear everything I said?
I mean, it cut kind of halfway through the bio. You were talking about working with teams. So
I just said, welcome to the show.
Oh, perfect. Well, thanks for, I was going to say before we cut, the vibe is good, man. The vibe is good. I like starting with that upbeat music and your energy. I mean, I wish they all started like that.
Thank you, man. I got to start. Maybe I'll do a course on how to, get the right vibe in your podcast.
Yeah.
But I think it really comes down to being passionate and loving what you're doing. And it just bleeds over. I'm not even trying. It's just like the way it is. So, welcome to the show, man. Great to have you. And I'm looking forward to finding out the ingredients that have gone into making you who you are. So let's get right into it, brother. Let's get into the question. What's written on the wall behind me? My famous question. What are you made of?
What am I made of? I mean, what comes, I think a lot of things, but what comes to mind as the main ingredient, I guess you can say, is I'm made of curiosity. And I wish I knew about that a little earlier on, because I would have asked a hell of a lot more questions along the path. But, you shared some stuff in the bio. It's all a result of just asking questions and being curious about my life personally, obviously the family, and then all the businesses and whatnot that have sparked kind of along the way. So that's the way, I mean, between showing up curious and just being present, that's the main ingredient, at least for me, that I'm striving and actually using these kind of mental fitness practices daily to just reset and come back to.
Yeah, love it. Well, the branding person in me, I got to say something, if you don't mind. So yeah. For those that aren't watching or listening to the podcast, Mark's got a hat on. It's black. There's no logo on it. And I'm a branding guy. So I'm like, what logo can we put on this hat, Mark? That's what I was thinking to myself after you finished. So we talked in the green room about how this platform you have reached 90 million plus people. That's amazing. Like, that number is huge, but still it's shy of a billion. So I think that you can get to a billion. But nonetheless, what logo are we going to put on that hat?
I want to say, what are we going to put on that hat? That's a good point. I'm intuitively thinking just a general statement in a way, or something like just be in the moment as a reminder, but that doesn't necessarily link to what I'm doing day in and day out. I would just say mentally fit, as a reminder. Like, how do we just pause for a second, because there's a lot going on in the world. There's obviously a lot going on in ourselves as well. And I just believe that we've got the tools. Like, the tools are there. If we can just train the mind and be fit, like, really, like, when you say, how do we get to a billion? It's all the mind. You know, the skills are out there. You know, that's not the competitive advantage. It's how do we train our minds to be, work for us instead of against us and just thrive?
Yeah, I love it. Well, I got an idea for you. Let me hear this one or thoughts on this one. Be curious, period.
Yeah, I like it.
Based on what you said, be curious, period. It reminds you, it reminds everybody that sees it. So, because the thing for me is like, there's so many like people out there. And when you're on social, when you're on my show and wherever you are, even out in public in an airport, whatever, like I always think to myself, and this is why I have my logo on and have hats that say that one and all that. But the thing is that I don't want to shortchange people that, like, if I'm in an airport, I was just coming back from Nashville, walking in the airport, thousands of people I probably passed. I don't sit in the chairs at the airport. I walk until my flight boards.
Same.
And so there's thousands of people and I don't want to jip them of the opportunity to see something that may help them. You know? So anyway, I'm just busting your chops a little bit, but it's a good idea anyway. So
yeah, I like it. Send the hat, brother. All right, I like
we'll
merch.
Figure out what we got to do to create that. Be curious hat. All right. So and I'm going to make sure I'll give you all the credit though once I create it and I'll send it over to you. So, all right. So Mark, this story of yours to, you know, obviously we're going to talk more about what you're doing currently and where you're going, but I want to know the story. I want to know, where did it start for you? How did you get to doing what you're doing? What makes you curious? You know, have you always been curious? Like where did your story start?
I don't know if I've always been curious. I mean, I think we're all born curious because that's how we evolve. That's how we essentially survive, right? Is just being like, okay, I'm going to take that first step. And then all of a sudden, I know you've got, you know, your dad as well. And it's, you know, there's certain ages where you get nailed with questions from kids, right? And then somewhere along the line, you know, that curiosity gets kind of pushed down, right? In kind of the education system, our ego starts to come in and so forth. And then we get to this point where we just try to get it back, essentially. And that's kind of where things really started to kick off for me. I was in the corporate space for probably, you know, a good decade, and I was in sales and product management and whatnot. And I started studying successful people, just really basic stuff, like 10 minutes in the morning before I went into the office, reading biographies, reading at that time, like Success Magazine and Tony Robbins, stuff like that. And what started to come up was, and it was so clear, every single person I was studying, they were all asking really high quality and good questions, reflective questions, personally and professionally. So I just started writing those questions down, and then I would journal on them before I would go into work, and did that for a decade. And that's essentially what left or started the whole idea of, well, there's a gap in the digital mental fitness space. At that time, there was the meditation apps were starting to take off, Calm and Headspace from mainstream perspective. And I'm like, there's nothing out there that helps guide people into a reflective practice with questions. And that's, you know, that's what we, myself, my brother-in-law, we set out to create. And that's the app that reached 90 million people. And now it's evolved into, you know, the book and the work that I do with teams. But it started with just studying other people and realizing that the secret sauce on their side is that 100% of them are asking good quality questions. And in today's world, it's not that we don't ask questions. It's that I don't think we ask high quality questions or enough of them, and which makes it really hard to get past the surface, because we're just getting jammed with so much stuff, right? The mind is like this room jammed floor to ceiling with boxes, and then someone comes around and says, hey, can you go get that thing in the back corner? And you're like, yeah, it's in there, but it's going to take me all day to empty this out and figure it out, versus a neatly organized library where you can just retrieve that stuff right away, right? So that's why, you know, that's kind of what started the path, and why I'm so passionate about this work is that, like, you can see me. I'm not sitting here with a robe and beads, or, you know, coming straight out of the jungle in Bali or something on a 30-day silent retreat. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but I'm just a regular human I see my job as curating these practices with compelling stories and narratives, so that people on the other side, irrespective of the medium that they're coming in on, it's like, oh, I can do that too. And I don't have to sit in this mental torture for longer than what's necessary.
Man, I freaking love that, man. I've been mentored by some of the greats. And one of my mentors said, the quality of your question determines the quality of your answer.
Yeah.
And so many people don't know how to answer quality questions. You know,
yeah.
how do you develop the ability to ask quality questions? For those of, you know, listening, they're like, yeah, I understand that. But like, how do I get that quality question? Like, where do I start?
Yeah. Well, we can definitely train our minds to be more curious. And there's a simple way to do that. And that's just start to build a routine of checking in with yourself. And there's multiple benefits in doing that. And that could be, you know, as your coffee's brewing in the morning, just take a few seconds to say, ask yourself, how do I feel today? Like one word. And you know, if I feel anxious or stressed, well, where do I feel that in the body? And then you start to usually just identifying that you release the emotion. But the training aspect, the mental fitness aspect, is that you're training yourself to pick up on these details and these signs. And question like, how do I feel? And if you go down the rabbit hole, it's like, well, if I feel like this, then what's the fuel source? Like, can I cut that? Right. So you start the day feeling great. And you also start to train your mind as you go through the day to slow down and feel and see what's going on, which translates to, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you're working on a presentation or you're about to pitch for a brand budget, then you start slowing down and seeing, oh, we're missing this element. Or, you know, this is actually what they're asking for, even though they're saying this. And it just starts with ourselves, like just being present and understanding what the hell's going on in our own bodies. Then we start to get more and more curious. Then, of course, the other thing, and obviously this is what sparked it for me, is just surround yourself, you know, with mentors, whether you know them or not, that are asking good quality questions, right? And you know, you and I are both obviously quite passionate on the podcast space. I always have a list of curated shows based on what's going on. You know, if I'm building a new business and it's in a certain vertical that I just don't have a skill set there, well, I'm going to make sure that I've got a couple podcast hosts that I know are bringing in people that talk about this. And they just naturally ask good questions, which then forces you to stop and ask those questions.
Love it. I hope you guys are taking notes. I hope you're taking notes on this stuff because it is true. I mean, quality questions, I mean, it changes everything and it gets you thinking. There's a book called Think and Grow Rich. Well, in the beginning of that book, it talks about, hey, the secret to this is in the title.
Yeah.
And it's think. And some of the best philosophers, you know, your book has Socrates in it. Some of the best philosophers out there were great because they asked better questions, quality questions. And they started to ponder on them. And then other people heard those questions. They started to ponder on them. And before you know it, there was a compounding exponential effect. And so it's powerful, you know?
Well, and we just need, so you mentioned that book. I mean, that's one of the books that literally leans beside my coffee machine as well. So because, you know, while the coffee's brewing, like, my whole thing is that this stuff doesn't have to be super complicated and take a bunch of time, but a few intentional minutes in the right periods of the day can completely change everything. So for me and for many, starting the morning off on your own terms and feeling like you're generating wins before you check the email and social and all that stuff is huge. And one of those things is, yeah, Think and Grow Rich is one of the books. I've got a lot of Stoic philosophy books as well, because you can pick it up, read one page, and completely shift your perspective instantly. And then you start the day from that place, right? And the more you do that, then all of this, it's just like going to the gym. It's like the more you train the body, then you start to see the results. Then it leads to something else. You adjust the workout and you end up, you know, on the physical fitness side, you end up staying ready. You know, someone comes up like, you want to go and do this? Yeah, maybe I'm not an Olympic athlete in that sport, but I can jump in, kind of hold my own. Well, it's the same thing for the mind, because we are asked to be Olympic athletes of the mind day in, day out. It's like we're running 12 to 14 hour high intensity workouts for our mind nonstop without any built-in recovery. Like it has to give at some point, right? So it's all about just finding the practices and the routines and the rituals for our minds to bring in some proactive training, you know, to handle the stresses of everyday life and work, but then also just to stay ready, you know, so that it's not this giant thing when something, because we know that those somethings will happen and they happen daily and sometimes they're bigger and they rock our lives, right? And then now, okay, I've got the tools to handle this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, one thing that's really powerful for me that I figured out was any insecurity in my life, or if I'm not getting results that I want or as fast as I want, It's simply, and all insecurity stem from this, is a lack of knowledge. And the answers are always out there. You just need to understand that, because what that does is, I realize this, it gives me control and puts me at cause. And now I'm like, okay, now I just have to find the information.
Yeah.
Once I get the knowledge, the insecurity goes away for that topic.
Yeah.
And my confidence goes up, and that allows me to accomplish whatever. So yeah, this is powerful. What I want to do, Mark, though, I want to know something here. I want to know what comes to mind when I ask you, what are some of the biggest challenges in your life from when you were little all the way up that you've had to overcome, and the biggest lessons you've learned from whatever comes to mind?
Well, by far the biggest lesson and the biggest challenge I've ever been through is linked to that 90 million number that you mentioned, because what we didn't talk about was that we reached that number of people without any paid media or anything like that. It was all organic and through collaborations. But in the same year, I found myself looking at my laptop screen and about to hit delete from App Store because the business model wasn't actually working. And people were coming into that app and leaving just as fast because the flows needed work and so forth. And I mean, that's a whole other, it's not even a whole other podcast, because we've heard these stories before. There's nothing groundbreaking in terms of why the business model didn't work. You know, we should have done more user research earlier. We should have, you know, dialed in the flows and so forth. But the lesson was to never fall for your own hype. And I feel like, because of that number, I was being interviewed, and we were in the app and so forth. We were being featured all around in different magazines and online publications and stuff and print, which was always giving this like sense of false security. Well, like, well, if these people are interested, there's no way, like, this has to work, right? Even though we knew that there was a bunch of stuff that we needed to change, and we were doing everything we could to do it, but we were running out of time and money and mental capacity, frankly. Because I was starting to feel like a hypocrite talking about mental fitness and feeling max stressed at that point, right? So,
But remember where you are. But I want to point something out. A lot of times in tech, we think about 90,000 users or 90,000 access to 90,000 people, and we start thinking the dollars, and we're like, well, if we could just get, I'm not even gonna say a dollar, 10 cents, from each person on average, that's $9 million. That's a great tech company.
Yeah.
Right. And so, and then you can build upon that. But yeah, so I just want to point that out. But go ahead.
Yeah. Well, so the hardest part of that journey was deleting the app, which was kind of like deleting my identity for the 3 years that we were building it and pulling it together and letting people down. That, you know, I remember I had moms reaching out saying, you know, I've got, you know, the first 2 years of my, you know, newborn's life, you know, documented in your app, right? And of course we provided export options and all that kind of stuff. But that, you know, that was heavy. But the lesson was, there was, because of the practices, because of the journaling and the mental fitness and just doing at that time, doing everything possible to just make my mind the full-time job because it was stressful, there was something intuitively saying, this is just a product within the journey. I mean, you're on the right path. That's clear. I could feel that right away. I didn't know I was going to write a book. The podcast had started in the app. So it was at that time I thought, oh, the podcast is gone as well. But then as the clarity started to surface, well, I'm like, I'm going to keep the show going. Cause frankly, at that point, I probably had interviewed a couple hundred people, and those insights were the things that, like, oh, well, they've been through a lot of these kind of situations, different circumstances, but here's what they did. And I was boring, you know, the practices essentially. So I rebranded the show and kind of carried on. But it wouldn't have been possible without doing everything to slow the mind down, clear out a lot of that mental clutter, a lot of that shame, a lot of the, you know, the fear. And at that time there was a lot of hopelessness as well, and just reignite the mind, right? And then get to the point. Speaking of questions, my mentor Chip Conley is the one that pulled me out of it, and he just said, well, what do you want for your life? And then that started the cascade. Well, if this is what I want, then who do I need to speak to, and what are some steps forward, right? And then you just keep building from there.
Yeah, the question, that first question will lead you to a lot of other quality questions.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's where the Socrates part comes in. I mean, I'm not a philosopher, right? And But it's just, I found it interesting that when you look back and learn a little bit about Socrates, like here's a guy that his method is literally still used to this day, but we don't think about it very often. And that's what got me really, you know, curious and excited to learn more. Well, if the method has stood the test of time, how do we modernize it in a way so that we can just really stop with the surface level questions and just take a minute to think a little bit, right? And then next thing you know, because we all have the answer, we really have a lot of the answers to the questions that we have or the challenges that we're faced. We need to, it's like a pond, right? It's like you stir up the pond, you can't see the bottom. I mean, we just need to let things settle for a second, but we never let the pond settle. So obviously we can't see, you know, past that.
It's huge. Oh, man. So I guess the challenge that, so you mentioned the 90 million and then you delete the app and all that, like what did you, is it gone now? Or is it, did you come up with a business model that worked? Like where are you with it?
Yeah. Well, the app is gone. I mean, the thing with apps and technology like that, I mean, even when we deleted it, we had to rewrite the code. It just goes out of date so fast. So, and I've had a few people kind of come up and say, hey, do you want to revive that? And do you still have the code? And yes, I do. But I feel like I have closure on that one. And I also know what it takes to make it in the app world. And it definitely hasn't gotten easier at this point. So I've moved on that, you know, the mission is still the same. It's to make these practices, to make mental fitness more accessible to as many people as possible, and just to help people with good quality questions, right? And get clarity on who they are and who they're striving to become, and then help people with the practices to support that journey. So it happens to look a little bit differently. I mean, I almost kind of joke that Personal Socrates, the book, is like an analog version of the app in a way, obviously a little bit less content, but same principle around leveraging questions to get people to think, right? And find their path. And then what I do with teams is bring the, because I don't consider myself a coach. I'm really more so a strategist, and that's my training in the corporate world. And just like we put together brand strategies and tactics to support a business or a product, we can do the same thing with our minds. And when you combine those things, you know, I'm working with a team right now. We're about to launch, do a huge product launch in the US. And so, well, you're investing all of this money. You're going to bring everyone together for multiple touch points to launch this product and have all this strategy and agencies involved. Is anyone looking at their minds? Because I don't care what kind of strategy you're going to put together. If the person executing the strategy is operating at 50%, or is max stressed out for a whole host of reasons, it's just not going to work, right? Or it's definitely not going to be at the rate that you're expecting. So let's just build in mental fitness along the way so that you have sustained performance. And the byproduct, which should be the main product, but we're not there yet from a business perspective, is people feel good. And you know, when we feel good, we do good. It doesn't have to be any more complicated than that.
Yeah, agreed. So the business part of things, right?
Yeah.
What in general, what is the area that you find that you need the most help with for yourself when running your business? You have we have strengths, weaknesses, we have knowledge and skills that we do have and don't have. What was the areas that you felt like that you needed the most help in? And also now, what do you need the most help in, and what did you do about it in the past?
Yeah, I mean, I think starting as, I guess you can say, like a solopreneur in the beginning, at least for me, it messes with your mind a little bit, in the sense that, and I was coming from losing a lot and a lot of rebuilding. You know, when I left that corporate world, sold a lot of stuff and you know, I had to survive for a while to make it happen. And then when we shut the app down, it's like, okay, well, this is not good, because now we're in a really rough spot financially and had to rebuild. But what happens though, when you're in that a little bit of like a scarcity mindset, is that you just try to do everything, because, you know, you're like, even for the podcast right now, I mean, I'm still in that place where I'm teetering around. I know it could be a lot more impactful if I had, you know, even a couple additional people or an outsourced team to take the content and, you know, clip it up and, you know, the stand, like the recipes are there, but there, it's always a balance of how much is being reinvested into the business versus, well, I've seen what happens when it all goes away. Like, I've got to make sure there's a decent buffer there. So I'm always kind of, battling is a strong word, but reflecting on that balance. And sometimes I feel for me is again, just reminding myself, like bringing in those mentors from afar or people that, you know, are directly in the network and they help you give, they help provide me the confidence to take maybe a step that feels a little uncomfortable, right? To grow, which, cause we know it's again, same thing, physical fitness. Like it's not comfortable in the gym when you're like nailing your muscles, but they grow when you do that, right? Or if you exhaust yourself on a Peloton or something, that's the growth, right? So it's just being conscious of that. But you have to be able, and what I'm most grateful for with you with this line of work is because of this work, my self-awareness just continues to grow. So you can, I can pick up on that at least. Then you have to make some decisions, obviously.
Right. Right. Yeah. The best actions to take. I'm always praying for that, man. Part of my prayers is, you know, and I'm a unapologetic believer in God. And I always say, listen, God, give me the thoughts to have, the words to speak, the actions to take, and the people to surround myself with. Make it clear to me. And I surrender to you to do that so that I'm not trying to be in control all the time and let it happen. And then I just trust.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes we get impatient.
Yeah,
you know, I have this thing I created this little term, patient urgency.
Okay.
Because we need revenue in our companies. So we have to be urgent. Like we got to get revenue. Okay. But we also have to have patience in the process and the journey. Because I think that's one of the biggest things I dealt with in my life is I'm impatient. And so I created this thing called patient urgency. And so it reminds myself of just trust the process, understand it, but be urgent to take action when you know it's the right actions and the things that we need to do to build revenue for the company.
Yeah.
And so I've been working on that for the last few years. And then the other thing you mentioned, I want to point out, is you started identifying with what you were doing, the app.
Yeah.
And this is another thing over the last year or so, I started to realize, like, I am not what I do. I am who I am. I figure out, like, okay, I got to figure out who I am. And then that ties to a mission and my values and who am I? And then the app, for example, or my businesses or the things, my hobbies, the things I do become my vehicles to get to the mission.
Totally.
Right. Because I think that we get like veterans. I'm friends with a lot of professional athletes. I notice this in them as well. Super successful business people. They tie their identity to what they're doing, which is really the vehicle. When that vehicle crashes, their identity crashes.
Yeah.
And I don't ever want to feel like that. Nobody should. So if you understand it's a vehicle and you can just get in and out of the vehicles to go on your mission, whatever vehicle can take you there, it frees you up a little bit.
Oh, for makes sure. Sense? Well, the thing is, though, you know, and just to give ourselves some credit is, I mean, we're just not taught this stuff for the most part. Like, you know, some of us luck out and we're surrounded by people, let's just say outside of the education system in some capacity that get you asking those kind of who am I questions, right? Which that's how I start. I've asked over 400 people that question. That's how my show opens. It's just because I'll read the bio. I'm like, okay, we've talked about what you do and your titles and accolades and whatnot. Now let's strip all that away. Who's the person in front of me right now? Right. And right now is the kind of critical piece. Cause I, you know, even though there are things that follow us through life, we evolve as well. I mean, my wife and I joke all the time, or maybe not joke, or kind of just reflect. 7 years ago, thankfully, we've evolved together because we're completely different people from when we met right out of university. Just not even recognizable. I mean, completely different life path, all of that stuff, right? And I think we just don't give ourselves time to ask those questions because we're surrounded by the stuff that's kind of in the outside world of, if I stick with your example of athletes, it's like, okay, well, I need to be the best athlete I can. And it's going to, this is the path. Like there's enough information to understand, like, this is the path, this is where I'm going to go. But usually on that path, because I've worked with athletes as well, you're not asking questions around who am I? Like, no, you're laser focused on, I'm going to be the best professional skier on the planet kind of thing. And I've worked with some of these professional skiers, then it ends and it's a disaster, right? And it doesn't have to be, because I think you can still be the best, but still know who the hell you are.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's like, if, you know, being the best athlete, it's a high performance vehicle that you're in, but you still got to find out who you are, you know, and this is such an important message to people. Please, folks, find out who you are and then drive vehicles to get to your mission, to identify a mission and then go. So Mark, as we wind down here, I could talk to you for hours, but what's the vision from here? Where are you going from here?
I mean, it's the same. It's the vision hasn't changed. And I think what's happening in the world, I wish this wasn't the case, but the trends seem pretty clear. We're currently going through a lot of change, and technology, it has a lot to do with that and so forth. And I think we're about to experience over the next 3 to 5 years change like we've never experienced. And we can see it in people's minds, because we don't do well with uncertainty as humans. So my mission is the same, but is even stronger than ever, is just to make mental fitness accessible for people. Because I think right now, the way it's positioned and the people that I work with, it's a competitive advantage as an organization and your team. But I think it's quickly becoming a necessity just to live, because we're just not biologically programmed and set up to handle our current lifestyle and pace. Just, we can see it. We see it in the, I mean, how many of you, myself included, suffer from some sort of mental health related challenge or loop with thoughts and so forth. And if it's not you, for sure, you know, someone that is. It's just inevitable, right? Because we can't sustain that 12-hour high intensity workout without doing something, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, 100%.
Yeah, that's the mission.
I love it. All right. Well, where can people go deeper with you, Mark? Besides getting the book, and I guess they can get that book on Amazon, Personal Socrates.
Yeah, it's all over wherever you buy your books and pick up your content, Audible, all that stuff. Soon to be on Spotify audiobooks. Working on that. Quickly, which is a new offering, which I'm pretty pumped about. BehindTheHuman.com is the main website. Podcast is there, books there, I'm there, LinkedIn, socials, all that kind of stuff. So yeah, just don't be shy. I mean, what I love to do typically is just if you share this episode, make sure to include the question that has changed your life, or the question that's most significant for you in your world right now, so that we can reshare that. Because I really do believe we're all one question away from a completely different life at any point. So let's share those questions. There's a lot of people out there that could benefit.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here, Mark. I hope you all enjoyed this episode with Mark Champagne, your boy C-Rock, here live from That One Studio on the What Are You Made Of show. Until next time, C-Rock and Mark Champagne signing off. Be
boom.
That one.
Music licensing reimagined.